Good morning, everybody. A reading from 1 Peter, continuing our reading from the previous week. 1 Peter, verse 13 to 21. Therefore, with minds that are alert and fully sober, set your hope on the grace to be brought to you when Jesus Christ is revealed at his coming. As obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. But just as he who called you is holy, so be holy in all you do. For it is written, be holy because I am holy. Since you call on a Father who judges each person, work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in the last times for your sake. Though through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. Let's just pray for Tim as he comes and brings his word to each and every one of us. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the encouragement that it gives to us and the strength that it gives to us day by day. We pray for Tim now, Lord. We pray you'll give him wisdom as he ministers your word to each and every one of us. We thank you that you love us and care about us, and pray that you will feed us this morning from your word. In Jesus' name we ask these things. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, David, and for those who have taken part in this live stream, welcome again. And to our series in 1 Peter called The Church Without Walls, where we're exploring two of the most fundamental questions of life. Firstly, who are we? That's about identity. And secondly, what are we called to be and do as a church? And that's about purpose. So if you're trying to work out your identity and your purpose, this series is for you. And at this moment in this letter, Peter, having celebrated our identity as loved children of God, secure in him, starts to explore what that means for our purpose, what that means kind of for our day-to-day living. Because the whole point of Christian faith is not simply a private spiritual experience that you have on a Sunday morning that kind of leaves people as they are, but a radical encounter with God that brings real transformation to our Monday mornings. And if ever our society needed to see the hope of real change, it is now. You know, this COVID crisis is revealing just how inadequate the things we've been trusting in as a society are. And people are looking for answers. So Peter says, verse 13, therefore, in light of who you are, notice identity always comes first, therefore, prepare your minds for action. Kind of get ready. The original readers it would have heard that as meaning literally pick up your kind of long flowing cloak and get ready to run. We might say kind of roll up your sleeves. There is real action ahead. And you can imagine the first readers going, wow, okay, we're ready, we're inspired, we're secure, chosen children of God. What are you going to ask us to do? You know, it's going to be walk on water. Remember, Peter did that, or go and work miracles or heal people. What is it? Well, what comes next might well have surprised them, because Peter says there's something that needs to underpin and come before anything else. In fact, all those other things rely on it. Peter says, verse 13, be self-controlled. Verse 14, be obedient. Verse 15, be holy, just as God is holy. And you can imagine the air kind of being sucked out of the room. Of all the things you might be asked to do, be holy is probably not the thing they were expecting. I mean, what does that even mean? I asked someone this week what they thought holiness was, and they said they weren't really sure. And then I asked them, well, are you holy? And they, without hesitation, said, no, I'm not. I asked someone else that question. They said, well, holiness means being set apart. We talked about it earlier in the service, which is right. That's what it means. So I asked, well, what does that look like for everyday living? And they said, I've no idea. And I think that gets right to the heart of the problem of talking about holiness. We're not sure what it looks like. And our hearts sink when we hear it because we know holy is something we are not. And so it doesn't get talked about, doesn't get preached on very much. You're not going to be invited to do a TED talk on holiness. I mean, if you call someone holy today, it's much more likely to be an insult than a compliment, you know, to say you're holier than thou. Holiness is seen as something that is perhaps associated with God, but it's not for us. To many, it is neither desirable nor possible. And yet Peter says holiness is central to being a Christian. Verse 15, he says, to be holy in all you do, in everything, be holy just as God is holy. And it's like, are you serious? Is that something that's even possible? I mean, how can those who sin be those who are holy? This morning, I want to talk about why we desperately need to restore holiness in the church and in our lives, why its absence cripples us, and how its presence can unleash God's power in our lives. And I want to talk most of all how that is possible. So firstly, the beauty of holiness, the presence of God. You know, in this passage, Peter describes two contrasting ways of living. He says to the Christians, there was a way you used to live that's not right for you anymore. And one of the big mistakes we make is to think that that means losing out, when actually nothing could be further from the truth. Peter reminds them what their old life was. Verse 14, he says, as obedient children, do not conform to the evil desires you had when you lived in ignorance. Following evil desires and ignorance describes a life of slavery. You know, modern people tend to think that a life that follows your feelings, whatever and wherever they take you, is freedom. But the truth is, it actually takes you on paths that you can't get off. Ruts you can't get out of. Have you ever had that experience in life? A habit or a pattern that seems impossible to break? Proverbs 4 verse 14 warns us, do not set foot on the path of the wicked. Because once your foot is on the path, it kind of takes you into slavery. Tim Keller writes this, life is likened to a path because every action takes you somewhere. That is, the act changes you, making it easier for you to do it again. Eventually, it becomes so natural to be cruel and selfish, you cannot rest unless you're doing it. And Peter is saying, well, that's not you anymore. You're not ignorant anymore. You know where those paths lead. You know, God's rules aren't trying to kill our joy, as Mike was saying. They are for our protection, for our freedom. God doesn't say don't commit adultery and to limit our enjoyment, but because he knows the huge damage that's caused to relationships and children and society that results from that. He doesn't say don't get drunk because he wants to restrict our fun, but because he knows the devastation that alcoholism causes in people's lives. You know, that is not freedom. Rather, the old life is described in verse 18 is the empty way of life. That word means futile, without purpose. It's limited to living for yourself. And again, we know one ugly thing that is, even as we're tempted to do it. We see all around us the fruit of people living for themselves, not really concerned about others. You know, this crisis is exposing some problems that have been there for far too long. You know, one of the issues that's increasingly being raised is the problem of poor mental health and loneliness. You may have seen Ruby Wax talking about that on Channel 4 News this week. And she rightly corrected the presenter and said, no, these problems are not new problems. They're not COVID problems. There's something about our society that has not been working for far too many people for far too long. And many are wondering, is there a different way? And Peter says, yes, the answer is holiness. It's like, well, what is it? This thing called holiness. Well, we know it's got something to do with moral perfection, being set apart. But what is its purpose? Well, let me take you briefly to the temple of the Old Testament. Here's a model of the temple. The temple is all about holiness and purity. Right at the heart, in that kind of main building, was what is known as the Holy of Holies, where the high priest could go just once a year. What did that represent? What is that holiness that is that temple so emphasized? Well, it represented the presence of God. What does our society need at the moment? What does the church that's scattered need at the moment? What does the lonely person need? The answer is we need presence. And not just any presence, but we need the presence of the God who made us and who loves us. We need his presence. And yet Hebrews 12 verse 14 says, without holiness, no one will see the Lord. We need holiness because we need God's presence. You know, when we talk about holiness, we're not talking about some arbitrary rules of purity. We're talking about the presence of God coming and transforming the place that you are in and the person that you are. And we see that repeatedly in the Bible. You know, a burning bush in the desert becomes a holy encounter with God. A lonely kind of mountaintop becomes a place where the voice of God is heard. Holiness is about knowing God's presence and hearing his voice. The absence of holiness means the absence of God's presence. And that's the reason there's so much brokenness and pain and anguish in our world, because so often we are living far from God. And Peter is saying to the church, you don't need to live that way anymore. God wants to be present in every single thing in your life. Whatever your Monday holds, be holy in all you do. That means instead of being empty, my life has purpose. The purpose is to bring the presence of God into everything I do, everywhere I go, and to everyone I meet. So there are people that you're going to meet this week that you could bring the presence of God to. The thing that they need above anything else. And that was always the goal for God's people. Verse 15 is a quote that is repeated throughout the Old Testament calling for a holy people, a people who will walk in the presence of God and bring the presence of God to a world that desperately needs it. You know, think, well, what does that actually look like practically? Well, Peter's going to unpack what that looks like in all kinds of different situations in life. But the ultimate guide is verse 15. Just as I am holy, so be holy in all you do. To be holy is to be like God. To know what God is like, we need to look at the one who is God, who is Jesus Christ, the only completely holy person to ever live. To be holy, therefore, is to be like Jesus. And that affects everything. It affects the way you do business. It affects the things you buy, the way you work, the way you manage others, the way you care for people, the way you talk to people, the way you pay the builder when he offers you two prices like we had this week, the cash price or the real price, which includes VAT, money which goes to help schools and hospitals. And you choose to pay the higher price because holiness isn't just thinking of yourself, it's thinking of others. Holiness unlocks resources for the care and the help of the poor and the marginalized. In Isaiah 35, holiness is described as the highway of holiness. It's a beautiful thing. But what that does is to make you a stranger in your own society. Verse 17, since you call on a father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers or foreigners here in reverent fear. Don't be surprised if you feel that difference at work sometimes, at school or in business. It means operating in a way that others are not. But you do so because you know that the person you're seeking to please above all is the God who sees everything, the God who will judge everyone, the one we are to have reverent fear towards. And you'll be thinking, well, that sounds great, but how on earth do you live like that? What is the way to holiness? That's secondly and finally what I want to talk about. The way to holiness. the grace of God. You know, Peter, the one calling for this life of holiness, knows firsthand this challenge. You know, he sees Jesus early on, the Holy One, do an extraordinary miracle, and he has a very strange reaction. Luke 5 verse 8 says this: when Simon Peter saw this miracle, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." Why? Well, this is the problem with holiness. See, on the one hand, we want the presence of God. We want to be near God. But when God gets near, we suddenly see how kind of sinful we are. And so we want to hide like they did in the Garden of Eden. We're so fearful of being exposed and seen for what we really are. Have you ever had that experience of being exposed? You know, someone perhaps knocks at the door when you're in an argument with your spouse, or someone walks into the room as you say something unkind about someone else, or you leave your Zoom mic on as you shout at the kids, or you send an email to the wrong person and you suddenly feel exposed. Suddenly just a little bit of the truth about us is out. You know, what's the answer to this lack of holiness? Well, many people think the answer is with us. You know, the way we structure society, the effort we put in, and that always leads to one of two very ugly places. The first is delusion. That's what the Pharisees did. They basically convinced themselves they were good, even though they weren't. And they created a whole bunch of rules that they could follow, then pointed them and said, "Look, we're good people." And the effect was devastating because they became proud, manipulative, and harsh towards others. And we all know people like that. Sometimes we're like that. Sometimes the church is like that, and it's horrible. In fact, this is a real danger for our society at the moment. There's a lot of what's been called virtue signaling on certain topics, and then terrible harshness towards others, while all the real problems just keep going. It's delusion. The other thing we do is simply to try harder. To be harsh, not with others, but to be harsh with ourselves. And again, it's ugly because we end on this cycle of effort and failure. And that ends not in delusion, but in despair. Because we're unable to live up to those standards. And Peter says there is a different way. He tells us, verse 13, it's all to do with setting your hope fully on grace. What is grace? Why does it lead to holiness? Well, Peter explains in verse 18 with the word redeemed. Look, that you've been redeemed from the empty way of life. It's an image from the Roman Greek slave market where you could set a slave free by paying the redemption price that was kind of over their heads. Now, we saw earlier that when we go our own way, we get enslaved. And what grace does is it pays the price on our heads for our freedom from the wrong path we were on. And the price of that payment was enormous. Look, verse 19, it cost the precious blood of Christ. The most costly redemption payment there has ever been. It cost Jesus his life to redeem you and I, because the debt we owed was life itself. We owed death. And on the cross, Jesus takes our path. The Holy One dies the death we deserve, paid the debt no one else could pay. And that is grace. And verse 20 says it was for your sake that he did it. It's all because of love. And this is why grace is the only effective path to holiness, because grace like this is the only thing that so assures us of God's love that we are finally capable of admitting the worst about ourselves. We don't have to live with delusion. We can actually be real and say, look, this is the reality of my mess. You know, we can say, come on in, because I know my mess is not bigger than God's grace. And that is good news. No, your mess is never bigger than God's grace. There is therefore no despair, because there is forgiveness here. Cleansing is here. This is what opens up the presence of God in our lives. True holiness. You see, it all rests on God. Verse 21, through him you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. That's our hope. And so your faith and hope are in God. not in us. In God, there's no room for pride here. Holiness comes when I stop making life about me and I start delighting in God and inviting God's presence into everything. And I start walking each day with God, saying, God, how can I know your presence here? How can I bring your presence to this person I'm meeting or into this situation that I'm facing? Lord, how can I bring your presence to people who need to hear of your grace? You know, maybe today is an opportunity to restore holiness in your life, to restore the presence of God with you, to be real with God about your sin, to come to Jesus and ask for his forgiveness, and then let grace transform you to realize that there is a better path to walk, a walk of holiness, a walk that is a walk with God, bringing God's grace to others. Let's pray together. Let's pray. Lord God, I pray, Lord, that you would please give us a hunger for holiness, a hunger for your presence. And Lord, you'd help us to see that the only way that can truly come is through the power of your grace. Lord, forgive us where we have walked without you, where we kind of bring just ourselves to others rather than bring you and your hope to others. Lord, we bring our lack of holiness to you and we ask for your help. We ask for your cleansing power. Lord, help us to walk in holiness, to bring your presence to the people that we meet this week, to the places we find ourselves in, to our homes, our schools, our workplaces, and our neighborhoods. Would we be a people of holiness, a people characterized by your presence and your grace? I ask in the name of Jesus. Amen.